The march to spring training and opening day is upon us. Rob Bradford from Baseballs and Boring here, and we'll have you covered every single day with podcasts that aim to educate, entertain, and inform you as a baseball fan. Follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Spring training is happening soon. Pitchers and catchers are going to report on Tuesday. And then on Wednesday, those pitchers and catchers will have their first workout in Jupiter, Florida. We are excited about that, excited about Cardinals baseball, which you can listen to on the Odyssey app, A-U-D-A-C-Y. If you download it, you can listen to KMOX all the time, the podcast, and then, again, Cardinals games for free on your phone. Time to go to the guest line. Mike Claiborne is part of that Cardinals broadcast team with John Rooney and Ricky Horton, and he is with us from Florida on KMOX. What's going on, Claibs?
It is all good here in Florida. The highs for the rest of the week and going into next week are going to be low to mid-80s. There's not a cloud in the sky. They're working feverishly over at Roger Dean Stadium, getting things ready for everybody to come over and play catch next week with pitchers and catchers. And, you know, players are here. They're doing their thing, and you can just feel the energy in the area as baseball is about to unfold here in Roger Dean Stadium in Jupiter, Florida in 2025.
We'll get to some of that in a moment, but last night, the revelation of the Hall of Fame class for pro football. Yeah, Torrey Holt misses out again. Now it's 11 years for him.
Ugh. Well, there's a lot of guys who missed out last night that I thought should have been in there. You know, I think the head scratchers were Sterling Sharp, when you put his numbers up against Torrey Holt and Marvin and Reggie Wayne, it's embarrassing. And, you know, Eric Allen was a Pro Bowler once. And Darren Woodson sitting there with multiple rings. I mean, every one of these sports has a different method of electing people into their Hall of Fame. And I think the NFL one is the most flawed one because they put some people in a room and you have to state your case for a certain individual. And then they vote. And I just think that that's wrong because it's the same people. And let's face it, Sterling Sharp's numbers haven't changed since he left the game.
Yeah.
Torrey Holt didn't lose yards last year. And so I just think it's flawed and it's embarrassing. It really is because, you know, these sports, there's a lot of people who are deserving. And to make this thing so tenuous is just it's just like you're trying to wield this power for all the wrong reasons. There are a lot of deserving athletes that should be in the Hall of Fame, especially in pro football. And for the reason why these people elect to play this game, and that's what it is, because here's what they're doing. They're sitting in their horse trading. I'll vote for your guy if you vote for my guy. And so when they can't come to an agreement, somebody else's name gets on the ballot and slips in, and he gets in by a couple of votes. And the next thing you know, we're looking at each other saying, what the hell just happened?
Claibs, do you think there is some kind of latent or maybe just out there anti-St. Louis bias in the voting?
I think the fact it's out of sight, out of mind. You know, I know Howard Balzer is still part of the voting committee, and you know Howard's been there for a long, long time. He's very well respected, but I don't know who else is championing the cause of anybody from the St. Louis Rams, and that's the concern I have because we're not part of that equation anymore as far as success. They've moved on. And it's unfortunate. And who knows what the NFL has said to certain voters? I mean, we've known they're underhanded. If you don't think so, go ask Bob Blitz on how they had to settle with St. Louis and spend $750 million not for the truth to come out. So we know those things can happen. But I believe that there is a little bias towards St. Louis and not the Rams. And it's a shame that Torrey Holt's not part of this. And I'll tell you another guy who should be in this thing. And I haven't seen him on the ballot yet, but you tell me who was a better linebacker and played every day, whether it was St. Louis or the Washington Commanders, is London Fletcher. London Fletcher's numbers are as good as anybody's a middle linebacker. So I think they've got a problem. It's a flawed system. They're not going to change it. And we're just kind of stuck with it. But you feel bad for a guy like Torrey Holt who's done nothing wrong.
So,
but, you know, they put some other joker in there.
Yeah. So does he get in, you know, does he get in next year,
you know,
think?
Chris, I used to say, yeah, he'll get in next year. But I just don't know anymore. I mean, it's just the selection last night. Now, granted, Antonio Gates, no problem with. Jared Allen, solid, really good player, had over 100 sacks in his career, probably Hall of Fame worthy. I just had a problem with the other two, and Sterling Sharp and Eric Allen. I mean, they were good players, but I didn't see how they all of a sudden became better than Darren Woodson or Torrey Holt, and the numbers don't lie. And I'm trying to remember what year was Eric Allen on a Super Bowl team. You know, because that's always the end-all discussion. Well, you win the Super Bowl. Okay, yeah, you're right. If that's what it comes down to, and if that's what weighs on whether you're a Hall of Fame-worthy individual, I'll play along. So he didn't even do that. As I said, he's been a Pro Bowler once. But yep. Somebody thought it was a good idea. And Sterling Sharp's numbers are vastly below Torrey Holt. And, you know, Sterling Sharp kind of left the game kind of with a salty taste in his mouth, and it carried over into his broadcasting career. And I remember when his career came to a screeching halt, I believe it was in Jacksonville when they had the Super Bowl, and he showed out, and the next thing you know, he was done and hasn't been heard from since. So I was a little surprised by him being part of this, you know, but he's in, so congratulations to him and his family. But at the end of the day, Torrey Holt should be in there. Darren Woodson should be in there. There's about four or five other guys I thought had a legitimate chance. Now, I know there was some that thought Eli Manning was the first ballot guy. You know, Eli Manning won a couple Super Bowls, and he's a really good player. But, you know, for some unknown reason, we reserve this first ballot thing as if it's ultra sacred. Hey, once you're in, you're in. You could be a first ballot or a fifth ballot or a 12th year. It doesn't make a difference.
Do it in baseball, too.
Yeah. You know, and their system is flawed. You know, where you have one person who wants to hold out to say that, you know, like in Ichiro's case, and then won't even step forward to say why.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
you know,
that's irritating.
And, you know, in a way, I kind of get it because, like, when we vote for our leaders, if you vote for president, I'm not going to ask you who did you vote for, and you're not going to ask me who. You know, that's our privilege. That's our privilege to say we won't discuss it. Some people say, yeah, I voted for Trump. Some people say, yeah, I voted for Harris. And that's fine. That's their prerogative. But for a person in this situation, considering the magnitude that it has with regard to the credibility of the organization, that be it the Writers Association, you got to come. You got to step up and tell us what we're missing on why you didn't think Ichiro was a first ballot candidate.
Klabes, we just chatted with Danan Hughes, the analyst on the radio broadcast
My
for
man.
The Chiefs. That's right. And we talked about the upcoming game and the running game being huge. And especially if you have success, like if the Eagles have success in their running game against the Chiefs, it's not just on the scoreboard. It's also like a personal affront. But I also wanted to ask about the coaching, because Andy Reid has plays that he keeps in his pocket until the Super Bowl. And he is such, you know, one of the preeminent coach, perhaps one of the best coaches ever. Does that lend a psychological advantage to a team like the Chiefs when even your coach has tricks up his sleeve?
Yeah, that's a great question, Amy, because, you know, in this day and age, coaches now have about a half a dozen plays that they practice starting in July. And they'll take away some time in multiple practices to run that play. And they'll put it in their back pocket. And as I've told some of my friends, I said, don't be surprised to see not necessarily a trick play, but a play that probably hasn't been seen on video by the opposing coaches. So, you know, you have to kind of prepare. I'm of the belief when it comes down to the Super Bowl, you have to prepare for four plays that you haven't seen. And how you do that? Well, you just have to trust your fundamentals and be in the right place at the right time and don't take the bait. But both of these coaches, and the fact is that they've seen each other so much over the last 3 years. So there's nothing that's going to be too fancy or too cute that they haven't seen before. So you just have to stay with your values and stay with your fundamentals and don't overreact. I mean, both of these teams have some very good athletes, and the Philadelphia Eagles have as good of an offensive line on the right side that I think I've seen in a long time. When you have a guard that's 6'8" and 365 pounds who runs a 5'1" 40, that's pretty good. And once they start moving that heaven and earth, that be it the Kansas City Chiefs, it's going to be interesting because somebody's got to block Chris Young, and I don't think the Chiefs have anybody who can block their Jalen Carter. I mean, he's just been creating havoc from day one. So the game is going to be like it always is, decided up front. I know everybody thinks, well, the quarterback's got to have a good day. Yeah, he does. But you know what? His day is a lot better when somebody's blocking in front of him, and the running game is working. So it's going to be a game that it's going to be very physical. They're going to get pushed around. And I just think that with Philadelphia's offensive line, if they can establish a running game, it'll be interesting to see how Kansas City counters that in the fourth quarter. Because, you know, when you start getting somebody leaning on you that's over 360 pounds, and it's going to take a little bit more than an arm tackle to bring some of these guys down, and especially when Barkley is running the ball so well, fatigue may set in. Fortunately, they're playing indoors, so they don't have to deal with humidity. But you think about somebody leaning on you for 3.5 quarters, and you got to try and figure out how to grab some grass and hold on and then tackle somebody, too. It can be a challenge.
All right, Klabes, I said I wanted to get to a Cardinals thing before we said goodbye with spring training starting next week. Nolan Arenado, for now, still on the team. Do you think they will report to camp when it's position player time and he will still be there?
Yeah, it just depends on where Alex Bregman goes. I think that's the bigger issue. And you know, nobody's moving until Bregman, who wants a long-term deal. Once he's signed, then I think we'll know about Nolan Arenado. But I'll tell you something, Chris, which is interesting that you bring up. What if he gets here, Bregman still isn't signed, and now all of a sudden, you know, you have to figure out, okay, well, are we still trading him, or are teams going to still be interested? Because obviously teams who may have a slight interest also have to have a plan B in the event that they don't get him. So I wouldn't be surprised if he's here next week. I really wouldn't be. And again, unless Bregman signs before next week. Now, if he signs, the dominoes start to fall.
All right, Mike Claiborne, we appreciate it as always. Enjoy Florida, and we will talk next Friday.
I have two words. Mm-hmm. Can't wait. By the way, who do you guys like in the Super Bowl?
I have to go with the Chiefs, Klabes, for myriad reasons, but also, even objectively, I love a good dynasty. I'd love to see it.
See, I want to see a three-peat. I've never seen it before in football.
Mm-hmm.
Although I think the Eagles are a better team now than they were the first time they faced Kansas City.
Yeah.
So I think it's going to be one of the more epic games that we've seen Super Bowl-wise in some time. And we've seen some good ones over the last few years, but I think this one can take the cake.
Well, you asked, who do I like?
Yes.
There's a difference between who I think is going to win and who do I like. It'll probably be the Chiefs.
Well, who are you making a wager on? From your wallet to your heart.
Yeah, it would be Kansas City. Okay. It's like I said earlier, it's very difficult to lose when you have Patrick Mahomes and all the officials.
Okay.
Oh, here we go.
Yeah.
All right.
Unbelievable.
Amy, I'm sorry I asked both you guys that question. I should just ask you.
That's okay, Klabes. It's an honest mistake. All right. Thank you.
See you, Klabes.
Talk next week. Adios.